come from the distant past to talk to you this morning about some peculiarity that is found among some who call themselves Christians. You see, some who start the Christian walk don't finish it. Or maybe they finish it poorly. Now, it's hard to believe that it would be like that, but it is. The Bible tells us that some have believed in vain. Now, you churchgoers, who would ever think of believing in vain? We all think that our faith is important, and who would believe in vain? Well, the Bible says it this way. You see, it's not Christ's work on the cross that was incapable of saving a person. No, the Apostle Paul says it this way. He says, if by this gospel you are saved, if, there's this great big if you hold firmly to the word that I have preached to you. Otherwise, if you don't hold firmly to the word that I have preached to you, you have believed in vain. Oh, this is a terrible atrocity that happens to some who I call themselves Christians. The Apostle Paul says it this way. He says, continue. Oh, that's kind of the key word, continue. You see, the Christian life is not a one-time decision we made sometime in the distant past. It's a continuing action verb. I continually choose to follow Him. Continue to work out your salvation in fear and trembling. Now, why the fear and trembling? Because we know that there is a heaven and there is a hell, and we want to make it to the right place. Now, the resurrected Jesus told the church of Thyatira this. He was warning them. He says, to him who overcomes at the beginning? No. To him who overcomes and does my will to the end. To the end. All the way through life to the end. To him I'll give authority over nations. The Apostle Paul speaks of those who have rejected holding on to faith and a clear conscience, and so have shipwrecked their faith. You see, it wasn't that Christ didn't have enough power to save them. It's that they didn't hold on to that which is entrusted to them, and they personally shipwrecked their faith. Now, this morning, you need to listen carefully. I'm not here to debate with you the theological pros and cons of eternal security or thus or that. No, I'm not here to discuss what you believe about your faith. I'm here to share with you what you do about your faith. I'm here to encourage you to finish strong. Now, the Bible is full of people that you and I can be proud of. Scripture's Hall of Fame. Oh, what a great place to walk down the corridors of that hallway and see people. I mean, I was right there when miracles were happening all around the world, it seemed. Cities were being converted for Christ. I mean, it was hot stuff. The world seemed like it was turned upside down, or I'd say right side up, for Christ. I mean, I committed my life to Christ. I made the decision. I purposed to follow Him all the way. I mean, you could count on me. My name is actually found throughout the New Testament. It's sprinkled throughout. Well, okay, maybe not, maybe lightly sprinkled. Okay, there was only 3 times my name was found, but it's still very, very important. You see, I was once one of the big shots. I mean, right there, where all the things were happening, where the cities were being converted and people were being saved and miracles were happening, I was right there. The Apostle Paul himself was my mentor. Yes. I mean, I wasn't just some guy sitting on the back bench of a sawdust revival meeting in Iconium. Oh, no. I was up on the platform. I was down in the healing lines praying for people, getting people saved over here and delivered. I mean, I was right there hot in the stuff. And that's why I'm here today to talk to you about finishing strong. Because I didn't. Now, there's another Hall of Fame. Another hallway in Scripture, Vestibule. The inscription over it isn't as popular. It's called God's Hall of Shame. The lights are a little dimmer there, and very few people like to walk down that corridor because it's kind of dark and gloomy, and it reminds us of people's failures, of people who started off with a purpose and a mission for God, and then didn't finish. You will find a portrait of me there. I'm not proud of it, but that's where I'm recorded. That's me, Mr. D. You may know me as Demas. That's right. My name means popular, and I might have been then, but I'm certainly not now. I mean, no one names their child Demas. I mean, when was the last time you heard somebody say, "Hey, come on, little Demas"? No, it's kind of like, no, not very popular. I don't have any stained glass windows with my picture on it. No. No churches or cathedrals named after me. The Church of St. Demas. Got a good ring to it, doesn't it? Not. No young men's leagues bear my name. No marble statues erected in my honor. Maybe a few in my shame. You see, I'm found in Scripture as a sad warning of what could happen if one's not careful with how they live their life. Even after they've invited Christ into their life, even after they purpose, "I'm going to follow him all the way." So out of those 3 references in the Bible, in the same way that paleontologists build a whole unknown structure from 1 or 2 bones, theologians have sketched my character from a few Bible references. Each time I'm mentioned in Scripture, it's by the Apostle Paul's hand while he was in prison. So the first time I mentioned is in your letter that Paul wrote to Philemon. You see, here it is. He writes, "Epaphras, who is in prison with me for the cause of Christ, greets you, as well as my co-workers." Da, 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 da. Here I am listed as one of the co-workers. Mark, now remember Mark, this is John Mark, the guy who wrote the gospel by his name. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, that's the Mark. That's the guy. I'm right there next to Mark. Articus, Demas, and me, and Luke. Well, who's Luke? Luke is Dr. Luke, who wrote the Gospel of Luke. And he also wrote the Acts of the Apostles. I'm right there with 2, 3 great big shots. Demas. You're going to... Can I help you? Yeah. Sure. I'm a co-worker of the Apostle Paul. You see, I wasn't just some little squirt. I wasn't just the water boy. No, no. I was a co-worker. That's like saying, we're on the missionary team together. Now, after turning much of the world upside down, or right side up, hostile Jews tried to kill the Apostle Paul. Now, they just weren't very friendly. They didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah, as the Apostle Paul was saying. And they thought that he had brought a Greek, uncircumcised Greek. I mean, that's like swine, into the holy temple. But he hadn't. But with that in mind, they stirred up a riot. And they would have nearly killed him. I mean, they would have killed him deader than a doornail. But the Roman garrison bullied their way in and rescued Paul. Now, there is a lot of political stuff happening, but that was the beginning of the Apostle Paul's first imprisonment. Although remember, he was imprisoned in different places and then sent to Rome because he appealed to Caesar. And although I'm not mentioned with Luke and Articus as one of those who sailed with Paul to Rome on that shipwreck trip, I thought so much of the apostle and of my Christian faith that I traveled to Rome at my own expense to be with the Apostle Paul during his first imprisonment. I tell you, I was committed. So, the first snapshot of me is one of Paul's co-workers. My co-worker Mark, Articus, Demas, and Luke. Now, I like to think of myself as the leader in the team, but possibly that was the Apostle Paul. But at least I was a co-worker with him. The second time I'm referred to in Scripture is again by the Apostle Paul. This time, he's writing to the church at Colossae. Luke, remember this is Dr. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas. Let me greet you. Again, I'm seen as one of the ones who are big in the faith, right there next to the Apostle Paul, working together as he's still sharing his faith. You see, even though he's incarcerated, he's under house arrest, and so we're winning Rome and all those who pass through Rome to the Lord. I mean, it was an exciting time. If only that was the last occasion that my name was ever mentioned, then children would be called Demas. I mean, there would be churches with the Church of St. Demas. I mean, there would be stained glass windows with my image on it. I mean, young men's leagues and marble sculptures, and I'd be famous. But no, the story goes on. Eventually, the Apostle Paul was released from prison, and we were on the road again. I mean, we were out there winning the world again. I was right there with him as a co-worker. I mean, we were seeing people saved and healed and delivered and set free. It was wonderful. This is what I'd signed up for, to be a world changer. Now, then there was this third time the apostle spoke of me. It's not quite as glorious. He's writing to one of his young men that he's mentored, Timothy. In time, you see, the Apostle Paul was arrested again. The Roman world had turned sour on Christianity, and Paul was found in that terrible situation. But as he went back to Rome imprisonment, I was right there with him again. I mean, talk about carrying on to the end. I was right there with him. The situation surrounding Paul's imprisonment, second imprisonment, was grave. I mean, things weren't looking well at all. Let me tell you, a fire broke out in the slum part of Rome. Rumors went around that the emperor himself had either personally set or had set the fire to make room for his building ideas. And he blamed it on the Christians. And so a terrible persecution came upon the Christians at that time. I mean, it was a grisly event. Christians were getting chewed up by lions. They're being stuck on poles and used as torches to light up the emperor's gardens. I mean, it was dreadful. Many of Paul's associates forsook him, but Paul couldn't leave. He was stuck under arrest in prison in Rome. However, I still had my liberty. Yes, I had a choice to make. And so, I had a decision. What am I going to do? Am I going to stay around here and get thrown in jail? Possibly fed to some lion? Or maybe put on some shish kebab to light up the emperor's gardens? And I decided to get out of town while the getting's good. Why, I still had a chance. And I knew that might be leaving the Apostle Paul somewhat in the lurch. But he was going to die anyway. I mean, his fate was sealed. And I still had a choice. And I knew that might be saying a soft no to God. Just a little no. Just a teensy-weensy no. But I wanted to live. I mean, the Apostle Paul's trial was over. He had already had his trial, and now all that was left was his sentencing, and we all knew what that was going to be. The outcome was obvious. It was then that the Apostle Paul wrote about me. Now, he could have been kind enough to leave out this little detail, but no, he had to say it. He wrote in that letter that I, Demas, am referred to, for Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. That seemed rather mean-spirited to me. I mean, after all, I've been right there with him all along the way. And now I'm just taking just a short little detour for life. And he's saying I've deserted him. He's about to be tortured to death, and I want to live? Imagine the grisly things that I had seen, the atrocities I had witnessed. Family and friends and loved ones were being cruelly mistreated and tortured, put to death just because they were Christian. That actually, the fact that God would let families die who loved him just didn't seem like a loving Heavenly Father thing to do. I mean, I signed up to be more than a conqueror, to be a world changer. Not to be eaten by lions or stuck on a shish kebab. That just didn't sound like the thing I wanted to do. I had reoccurring nightmares that I could almost feel the iron doors and close behind me. I'd wake up and feel like they're there. You know, I didn't have the disposition to be in prison, to be locked up. I felt claustrophobic already just thinking about it. And I knew I just wouldn't take kindly to some lion gnawing on me. Somehow I'd forgotten Jesus' words. If any man would come after me, let him deny himself. Then he uses these tough words. You see, when I lived, the way the Romans treated insurrectionists was to nail them to the cross. Talk about a grisly death. That was grisly. But Jesus used that as an example. He said, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Daily. It's that continuing action verb, willing to do whatever it takes to follow Jesus. Nowadays, people don't get nailed to the cross. And nowadays, persecution isn't terribly strong. And yet still nowadays, some people don't make it to the end in their Christian walk. I mean, they started the good fight. They went some of the distance. And yet, look around and ask yourself, where are so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so today? Unfortunately, this is the last time my name is ever spoken of in Scripture. And there are at least three things that you can learn from my story. The first thing is, the forces that led me astray were those of this world. Scripture says, set your affections on things above and not on things of this world. It was the things of this world that the Apostle Paul said, I loved. I guess he knew me well enough to know my heart, the things that I was really after. And I loved this present world. The Apostle Paul, John, says it this way, that there is a love that God hates. Here it is. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Oh, that sounds ever so hard, ever so challenging. He goes on to say, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life are not of the Father, but of this world. So where is your heart at? Your heart can lead you astray. Even though you may have made a decision some time ago, your heart has to be focused on Christ today. I have decided to follow him. No turning back. No turning back. Maybe the second thing you can learn from my story is my love. The word love is agape. It's not just an emotional whim that happened and I happened to slip and fall. No, it was an informed decision. I looked at the options. Serving God, pausing with God. Possible hardship, the good life. Maybe being martyred, or just escape martyrdom. I made an informed decision to walk away. Now, most people don't get to that point fast. Most people don't speed away from God. They slowly drift. Slowly. Ever so slowly. And the Hebrew writer says, we must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard so that we don't drift away. Maybe it starts in our devotional life. We just get busy. I mean, things around us are busy, and so we miss that time with God. We mean to. We just miss it. And then because they're so busy, then we start missing time with Christian fellowship. I know. Somebody offended us. And we're not going back to that stinking place where those people are. And then we become all alone, all by ourselves, still watching God on TV, though. And then we don't even do that much no more. And then pretty soon we've drifted much farther than we ever intended to drift. Maybe the third thing that you can learn from my story is that the next step is an easy one. Once you've drifted, once you've consciously made a decision, then to actually do it is easy. Demas has deserted me. The Greek word for deserted means to abandon, to forsake, to leave helpless, to leave in the lurch. And yes, I did it. And I'm so terribly sorry at this point. So I've come this morning to urge you to finish strong, not just to start the race. All sorts of people start the race. All sorts of people carry on somewhat in the race. I encourage you to finish well. Be able to say, like the Apostle Paul, I have fought a good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. This morning, if there's anything I could urge you to do, don't be like me, who started well, who ran for a distance well, and then lost the prize. I believed in vain. Oh, what a terrible thing to think of. This morning, I'd like you to bow your heads and be able to say in your heart, I have decided, begin today. I may have decided in the past, but again today, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. I'm going to make it to the end. He who overcomes to the end. I'm going to continue to work out my salvation in fear and trembling. I'm not going to allow my faith to be shipwrecked. No, I'm going to follow Christ. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you that you have recorded in Scripture both the good, bad, and the ugly. There is Demas in the hall of shame, not having finished the race. I ask that you'd help each one of us here today, not just to start the Christian walk, but to finish the Christian walk well. To finish well. This morning, we want to commit ourselves to you again today. Lord, I ask you to help us that our love would be focused on you, and that you would help us to rip our focus and our love from the world and onto you. We ask in Jesus' name.